Thanks for your company today on Women of Hope. You're with Penny Mulvey. Did you know Women of Hope is entirely dependent on donations? Check out our website www.twraustralia.org. That's www.twraustralia.org. Helen Meyer is my guest and we are attempting to tackle the giant subject of forgiveness. Before the break, Helen, you commented on the fact that forgiveness is hard work. It's not surprising when you reflect on the anger, the bitterness, the brokenness that has piled up in people's lives.
I think you're absolutely right. And look, there are situations where being angry is very appropriate, where people have been abused or there's been situations where they've been misused. But really we need to look at anger from a different perspective. Anger really is one of the first steps in the grieving process. And what happens is that people can often get stuck at the point of anger and they don't move beyond that. In other words, they don't enable themselves or allow themselves, or perhaps are not even aware they need to take the journey of grief. They need to do that. They need to work through. We find that with a lot of the women, when they work through the grief issues, they come to the forgiveness point, but they need to be able to let go of the anger and allow the pain of what they've experienced to come through, because anger will block that from coming out. It will block them in the grieving process, and therefore it does have an effect on being able to move on to forgiveness.
Just thinking that the anger can be a strength for women in anger, because so often they can also blame themselves and be very much a victim who's just powerless, and so the anger to some degree can take you away from that.
Mm. Well, you know, some people say that anger is a good place to put your energy. I would say that that's a very short-term response, and I'm not saying it's inappropriate. It's what you do with it. See, feelings are not right or wrong. They just are. That sounds a bit trite, but it's true. But it's what we do with that anger. Where are we going to take that? Because the thing is that when we're angry and we're perhaps developing a root of bitterness out of that anger, it doesn't just affect us. It permeates our other relationships. So doing the journey of forgiveness, which means dealing with the initial anger, means that we actually set ourselves free, we set the other people free, but we set ourselves free and free to have wholesome, healthy relationships around us that are not going to be poisoned or permeated by unforgiveness and the pain that's happened to us in our own lives. It lets everybody go.
Helen, returning to the story of your father, did he ever say to you, "I'm sorry for your childhood, I'm sorry for what I did"?
No, never.
So there was never any moment that he apologised or anything?
No. But he knew. He knew. We didn't even have to say that.
You didn't have to say it because you knew that he was sorry.
He knew what had happened in our lives was very painful. He knew that things had not gone well. He knew that he hadn't lived a life that was really healthy or godly or had done anything to really strengthen us, to prepare us for our adulthood. But there was something in him that loved us anyway through his brokenness. He was a loving man that was so destroyed by the things that had happened in his life. And because of that inability to handle pain and to handle the challenges of life, he lashed out. And many people do that. And I think that's one of the things that really helps us come to the point of forgiveness. Because Jesus was on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them." He found a reason. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. And I think that's one of the things that can really help us come to the point of forgiveness, is to understand a little of the dynamics of what drives a person's life, what made them the way they are in terms of their brokenness. And that was something that really helped me. And the other thing is too, we need to recognize, we're talking about us forgiving other people, but we stand in the need of forgiveness ourselves. There are people we've hurt. We need the forgiveness of Christ in our lives. So it's not just us being willing to forgive others, but it's we stand needing that ourselves.
You know, one of the things I really love about presenting Women of Hope is the opportunity it gives me to speak to some truly inspiring women on topics of great significance. And I'd have to say today is one of those days. First Helen, and now our next guest, Holocaust survivor, or perhaps more aptly, Holocaust triumpher, Joan Kirsten, a woman with the most extraordinary story to tell. Joan, thank you for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
It's very kind of you to put yourself through this, but I believe that you you actually tell your story reasonably often through seminars and things.
That's correct. Yes, I do whole weekend seminars with CWCI on the subject of forgiveness.
Before we get into your particular story, if you're doing regular seminars, would you say that forgiveness is a significant problem in our society?
Oh, definitely. I find that when I talk to women all over the world and from all different backgrounds, that when you talk to them about their problems, I find that the key is very often, in fact, more than very often, a lack of forgiveness in some area of their lives, and that stops them and inhibits them in living a fulfilled life.
It's the irony of the word, isn't it, that failure to forgive actually doesn't impact on the person that you're aiming it at, but it impacts on you.
That's correct. It may not change the situation at all, and it certainly may not change the other person, but it frees you. It takes a huge burden off yourself, and therefore you're able to cope with life much better. The other person is usually walking around there having a wonderful life while you're carrying the burden of the situation or the hurt or the pain. And because you don't forgive, you live with that every day. And it's like a snowball. It just grows and grows and grows if it's not dealt with. And it ends up with hatred and resentment and bitterness and all kinds of other issues.
Which obviously impacts on all your relationships then.
That's correct. And in my own case, I was making my husband's life a misery and my children's and all those around me. And I craved love and affection because I didn't have that as a child. Instead of getting what I craved by my anger and my aggressiveness as a result of lack of forgiveness, I was pushing people away instead of receiving the love that I really need, so desperately needed.
Joan, it sounds like a lot of your story was not receiving love. It was a loveless upbringing. How do you accept love, and God's love especially, if you don't know love?
That was one of the hardest steps for me, Penny, because in order to receive God's forgiveness, you have to believe that God loves you enough to forgive you. And all my life, the little bit of love that I did receive was always conditional. There was always a condition attached. If you get good marks at school, I'll be pleased with you. If you behave in a certain way, then I will accept you. And I never received physical love, which is what I craved for. I would have given anything for a hug. I was actually 15 years old before I received my first hug from my girlfriend's mother, who was a buxom woman. And I often say all this flesh around me was wonderful.
That is so sad.
It is sad, but it's true. And when they were pleased with me, I would get a present. So I knew that if I came home and there was a pair of stockings, there was a book or a present, I knew that I had met the conditions, and that was their way of showing love. And so all my life, and then even when I got married, you see, my husband thought he was helping me by putting conditions on his love, but I didn't see it that way. And so I saw more of this performance-orientated getting love. If I performed correctly, I received a form of love. And so I learned to perform according to what each person's expectations were of me.
But deep down, you were never good enough.
No. Mm. And deep down, I always had the feeling that nobody really loved me. And so even now, I still have a battle with it. I've got to be honest. I have a battle with believing that God loves me how I am, no matter what I've done, no matter what weight I am, no matter what I look like, that he really, truly loves me. And the important thing I had to learn is that there was nothing I could do to earn God's love. You see, I had to earn other people's loves, but God's love cannot be earned. It is God's free gift to us, and that was a big lesson for me. He gave his life for me, not just for the world as a whole, but for me as an individual.
Joan is joining Women of Hope again next week to share the details of her story, from Jewish baby in the Warsaw Ghetto in Poland to a woman at peace with herself and her life in Australia 60 years later. Here's a taste of a program not to be missed.
I was actually smuggled into the ghetto to my grandparents, and I was anaesthetised. And they didn't know if I'd wake up or not, but they had to risk that. and I was stuffed into the bags on the side of my father's bicycle. They were large leather pouch bags, and they squashed me into one of those bags and prayed that I wouldn't make a noise.
If forgiveness has been a major stumbling block for you, or you'd like to share your story of freedom brought about by forgiveness, please call Women of Hope on 02 9740 6355. That's 02 9740 6355. Or send me an email to womenofhope, all one word, at cwciaus.org.au. I'd love to hear from you. My name is Penny Mulvey, and I look forward to your company again next week here on Women of Hope.